How's it going, everybody? It's your favorite apostates. I'm McKay, and who is this? New hair.
Oh,
I didn't even remember.
Yes, I changed my hair, and I'm Jordan, and I realized that I literally have a stain on my shirt as I'm sitting here, and you know what? We're already filming, so I'm just going to roll with it.
The camera was already rolling, and she said, don't care.
Okay.
More important things at hand. Totally understand. It's been a crazy last little while. I feel like I say that every f***ing time, but...
But we have good content today.
Just as always, right? Right? Right?
It's always terrible. You hate it. You hate us. It's fine. We have fun stuff today, so.
We have fun stuff today. Funny stuff, too. We're keeping it light. It might be a little infuriating, but, you know.
Not as infuriating as things in the past. Not like a Lori Alexander type of infuriating. Yes. Like a Bethany type of infuriating.
Yes.
Depending on the day.
Lots of goofs and gaffes, I would imagine. We're going to see. Let's do a reaction. A little while ago, Bethany and her husband, Dave, Bethany being of girl-defined, quote-unquote, fame, did a little response video after they went and saw the latest feature film, the Barbie movie.
Because she's triggered!
Sick and twisted! They had some interesting takes from what we have heard. Primarily, well,
unsurprising Bethany. Takes, let's say.
Unsurprising. So,
one of them liked them and one of them didn't. I'll leave you to guess which one that
take
is.
Take a gander. Take a guess. So, let's get it going. And we will try to have some fun along the way. I'm going to keep this part in. It's literally right as I brought the video up. I thought it was hilarious. So, hopefully, it doesn't get us.
First of all, let's just right off the bat say that Dave is very much theater kid energy, and when we watch videos with him in it, he is actually quite funny. Bethany is Bethany. But the title of this video is, Does My Husband Like the Man Bashing Barbie Movie?
Bashing Barbie Movie.
So we're starting off on a good note.
I'm just Ken. That's enough.
It makes me laugh every time. I had to play through it a couple times as we were getting everything set up, and I'm just...
I'm great at doing stuff.
I'm going to go first and do the intro.
Okay.
Okay, are we ready?
Focusing?
Yeah.
What's up, y'all? It's Bethany and Dave here, and we are here to deliver a Barbie review.
Or like I like to call it, shiny, happy people.
What? What? What does that mean?
Dave...
What does that even mean?
I guess you could draw some parallels, right?
Is that what he's saying?
Not the idea of shiny, happy people. Not the idea of shiny, happy people, the documentary. I'm giving him the benefit of the doubt on this one.
About it. Just think about it for a little bit.
Yeah. Which we have a review on Shiny Happy People. So thanks for the...
Okay,
unfortunately,
either,
you so. Do. See? Okay, well,
she doesn't
apparently I'm not
it.
The only one.
I guess it's a Ken thing.
I guess.
Okay, tell us how you ended up being the one here to give a Barbie review.
I'm here because the other
night
the
movie.
You said...
Because
my wife made me.
Get someone to watch the kids and go see Barbie together. And I was like, full for like a free date. So
she was like, hey,
very literal response.
I want to go to see a movie and I want it to be a write off. So we're going to make a video together and you're coming with me.
Cool.
You can write off the whole date in that case.
Yeah. I mean,
makes business sense.
So we went. Okay. Yeah.
And like a more official, like, oh, go see Barbie so we can do a review. Yeah. And that's the only reason that I would really be interested to see Barbie. So.
Totally.
Yeah.
There were a lot of couples.
Just had to clarify that.
It's okay to want to go see a movie. There's nothing wrong with that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Like
unless you were a movie-going type of person.
Yeah.
You know, in which case, like, oh, we go to movies and stuff. Yeah. But I was not expecting you would want to go see it.
I didn't.
So.
It was...
Because I didn't.
I didn't.
It's like, why did we go then?
Okie dokie.
You've been asking me that. Like, you've been suggesting, you're like, hey, you should go see Barbie with girls, or you should go see it with friends. And you kept asking me, like, since it's come out, if I've been interested in going to see it. And for some reason...
Oh, he wanted to go see it. Just...
Yeah, Bethany, go see this movie that talks about patriarchy and feminism and...
Dave.
Wink, wink.
Dave. Blink twice if you need help. We'll come and get you.
I don't know. Like, it just didn't strike me as, like, super interesting or something that I really wanted to see. But I was like, everyone's talking about this, and the GDM crew probably wants to hear some thoughts or take on it. For those of you who have seen it or haven't, there will definitely be spoilers. So just if you're excited, then don't listen.
Spoiler.
Did she go to the movies like little Ben Shibibo with his little notepad and everything like
dressed
that?
Like Ken.
Dressed like Ken. My producers dragged me to see the Barbie movie, so here's 45 minutes of me just f***ing circle f***ing the Hobies over it.
Spoiler alert. So, yeah, then I saw our friends Paul and Morgan. They went and saw it. They have a great review, too. You can go over there.
Not guys, an original idea.
We paid money to go see this movie, but we absolutely don't support it. We paid our own money to the theater who paid to show this movie. Don't support it.
Not an original idea in their thick fucking skulls.
Not an original idea.
Paul Morgan Show and watch their review. They were funny because they got tickets, but the movie was packed, so they couldn't even sit together. So that was funny.
They went, they couldn't even sit together?
Embarrassing.
Dude, if I went to see a movie with Jordan and we couldn't sit together, we would leave.
That's just so pointless.
We did get to sit together. Okay, so
we kick some people out.
Do you want to give, like, for those who aren't up to date on what the Barbie movie is, you want to give the overview? The story?
Oh, gosh. not really.
I'm ready.
Denouement. I mean, that was pretty good. Yeah, I feel like that's basically the plot line and the story.
That's
and,
the denouement.
You know, without giving everything away.
All right.
Okay, so let's start with... first off.
He's like, oh, this is the part.
Oh, man. Anyway, I'm probably skipping most of that synopsis, so.
Not a Christian movie. This is not trying to claim to be a Christian movie in any way, shape, or form. So I think when we...
Pretty sure it's a doll movie.
Yep, pretty sure that's not something they included. Who's Christian? Is there a Christian in it?
Is there a Christian Barbie?
I don't know.
Sound off in the comments.
Christians come to these movies, and we are trying to... analyze it from like our own Christian worldview, and we're like, well, they have this and they have that. Like, of course, this is not a Christian movie. So if you are going to Barbie and expecting like Christian values to be present,
yeah,
what about Barbie is Christian values? Seriously.
Do they have a Christian like a Barbie Pope, a Pope Ken, or a Jesus Ken nailed to the cross? Like, why would you ever expect that?
There, that's not the case. You know, this is, so you have to go into a movie with the expectation of who's creating this and what am I going here for? Am I going here just because I want to have fun, a date night, and be entertained? Okay, great. You know, are there things in it that are going to, too many things that are going to compromise my convictions? Okay, I won't go see it. You know,
whatever your opinions on what media intake you want is fine, whatever. But
yeah.
It's just such a good illustration of the fact that everything for Bethany is like, everything revolves around me. Everything is Christian worldview. Like,
yeah.
That's the expectation going into just about anything. So if it's not there, it's like, oh my God, this doesn't have Christian values in it.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Well, the world's going to shit.
Yeah. That's how it was for us.
Yeah.
Growing up. I mean, we would call things, they would like, there's this whole Mormon ad, I'll probably throw it up on the screen, where it's like a little roach in an ice cream sundae, and it's like, oh, it's good, except for, meaning like all these little things that go against your worldview
can turn the
whole
things.
Yeah, can turn the whole thing into something that's not good. So and it's kind of that same thinking.
Yeah, very much still Mormon and very, I mean, it's, even from our experience as Mormons, it can be very limiting in that perspective of like you can only watch or listen to or read certain things, because I'm all for like what's age appropriate,
yeah.
keeping mindful of like triggers and things and like what's appropriate for kids. I'm a big fan of that. But as adults, if you only consume media that's like in this Christian context and Christian context only,
yeah.
I mean, it doesn't give you a very well-rounded view. I mean, we could say the same thing about like if you watch Fox News all day long or if you watch CNN only all day long, like you're not going to get a necessarily balanced perspective.
It used to really, I remember growing up, there was a lot of families that were like, oh, we don't watch any movies that aren't Disney movies. And I think that's probably starting to disappear because Disney's woke
or whatever.
Yeah. Whatnot. But yeah. I'm sure there are still families that are kind of like that.
Making that choice based off of the fact that this is not a Christian movie. So we're not coming to analyze this as like, what did they go against scripture and what did, we're just giving it, we are Christians and we're going to talk about the movie as Barbie, the movie, and what we liked, what we didn't like, and why we liked it and why we didn't like it. So that's kind of the point of this review. It's a little bit more of a cultural conversation, something that is absolutely exploding right now in culture. And so we want to be a part of those conversations. And that's why we're here.
I don't particularly want to be a part of every cultural conversation.
Okay. Sorry. Okay. So I was thinking we could do things we liked about it, positives, starting with the positives. And then maybe we could go to our negatives after that.
Okay.
And then maybe just overall thoughts. Sure. So.
Okay.
Do like a little bit of editing. Like you don't even have to do a whole lot. I know you're not doing color correction and shit like that, but cut some of this stuff out, please.
Why don't you go first for the positives?
Yeah. Okay. Well, let's see. You'll probably realize as it goes on that I have less positives and more negatives.
Of course.
My positives, I thought the set was really fun. I thought like the whole, like all the pink, all the Barbie Land stuff, the dream houses, all of that, the costumes, everything was like such a blast. So fun. All the outfits were so cute. I thought all the actors were like really like good. Like I thought they did a really great job of just like really being the character that the director wanted them to be. So they fit the storyline script. Hands down for me, Ken was by far the most hilarious to me. I just thought his whole personality.
Ken, played by Ryan Gosling, former Mormon Ryan Gosling, by the way.
Isn't he raised Mormon?
Yeah. Yeah. That's why I said former.
And
shout out.
Him in the story kind of like made it. He really brought so much energy and so much humor, really a lot of needed comedy and humor. Because
I think we need a Dave Ken. I'm going to say it right now.
So that was really, really fun. And then Weird Barbie was hilarious. The one, you know, the Splits one. She was absolutely hilarious. So I really, really liked that. I mean,
go see the movie just for Ken and Weird Barbie.
Yeah, if you go, go for Ken and Weird Barbie and just like everything else, whatever.
Yeah. Everything else is filler. The story is filler.
It's kind of true. I think one of the best.
Kate's always going to be our shining star, even though SNL is on a lull lately.
Parts is just like the marketing. Like, I think the people who win at Barbie is the marketing team. Because they created, and it's, you know, marketing over the years, really, to create this. But then even leading up to the release of Barbie, I mean, just the fact that, like, all of these groups of girls and, like, women are getting all dressed up and, like, planning these girls' nights and planning these girls' days. And, like, all of them want to get a picture inside the Barbie box at the movie theater. And everyone's just dressing up in pink and, like, having so much fun with it. To me, that's probably one of the most positive things about the entire movie is just all of these friendships and sisters getting together.
Hi, sister. I thought she was going to say that was a bad thing. And I was like, this sounds pretty awesome. Like,
it's very in line with Taylor. Like, in my experience. Yeah, in my experience.
It's a uniting force.
As teenagers, like, there was never a concert that I went to where I, like, intentionally planned out an outfit and was, like, this super cute and elaborate. And I'm like, I am all for that because that nice like additive to that like experience, but that was not a thing that I had ever experienced like growing up.
Yeah.
And so this is like, I love that they're creating these opportunities, especially like for young girls, because they don't have a lot of opportunities to like, you know, get insanely dressed up and like do all these fun things. So I think This is, I think Bethany's right on this one. I think this was a marketing thing they hit on the head.
And it may be the intersection of art and community and most unfortunately capitalism, but I think overall the impact is generally positive.
Dates and just like all the people that are coming together and making memories. So that's probably the biggest positive for me. It's just all of the like fun that people are having. So that's the extent of my positives.
Oh
that's
my God. That was the only thing she had.
I enjoyed it more than that. Just because if you like the kind of intellectual kind of trying to be smart type of movie where you're trying to figure out what are they trying to say and how's the storytelling work to sort of say what they're trying to say, then.
So if you like Ben Shapiro, then this is your
movie. Is he implying Bethany's like stupid?
Dang.
It's actually more engaging. So for me, it was more engaging because the whole movie, I was kind of like, okay, where are they going with this one? Okay, then now this sort of plot device, where are they going with this?
Simple-minded like
no,
me.
No. Well, no, it's not really.
See, that's exactly what I was saying. I don't think he likes what, I don't think that was his intention.
No.
But this is one of the things where I'm like, ooh, implication alert.
Even if it was his intention, of all the things that he's implied previously, this is pretty.
Implication alert.
Pretty tame.
Being simple-minded, but if you're, it's more the expectation. Yes. If you're going to see a sincere movie, it was not that. It was not really a sincere movie.
What did you expect it to be? Tuesdays with Maury?
It's about a fucking doll, bro. Like,
it's not that deep.
It was trying. What do we say? It was trying to be so self-aware of itself. And that when it did try to be sincere. Well, this is probably getting into, that's more of a negative. Okay. So if you were expecting just a fairy tale, like a Disney princess movie or something like that, that's not what this was.
No.
Right. So,
guess what? Not everything has to be a fairy tale.
I think most people understand that by this point.
Yeah. Those stories have already been told 1,000 times. In fact, usually they're being retold because they can't come up with new ideas.
So I kind of went in knowing that it wasn't that. And so I wasn't as disappointed.
Which points to, this is subtle Jordan brain pickup here, points to the difference in their media consumption. Mm-hmm. If Bethany didn't have a lot of like advance notice of how this movie was actually going to be versus Dave did, I think that points to a little bit of a difference in like what they see on social media and what they read, and I could be reading into it, but
yeah, Dave's getting served more Barbie content than
King,
than Bethany. Sorry, sis.
Or I'd heard that it had more of that kind of cultural commentary, sort of feminist angle, which it did, I would say largely in a certain sense, but, I enjoyed all that. There was a pretty, again, intellectual, but
he enjoyed all the feminist. He enjoyed the feminist piece. Oh shit.
Existential message, which I like existentialism as just kind of a philosophy. It's fun.
Existentialism and religion are kind of weaved interestingly.
Yeah.
Depending on who you would ask.
In a traditional sense, they should not touch, but you know,
kind of though.
I don't know. I guess it depends. Largely, it's opinion. So,
yeah.
And just like a lot of successful Hollywood movies, they're going to have an existentialist message, and it basically goes something like, "What does it really mean to be human? Do we have a creator? If we do have a creator, what does that mean for our life purpose? Is purpose fixed, or is it something that we create?" And typically the existentialist will say, meaning is not inherent to reality. It's something that you create. And so it had a very garden variety version of that message
What is this face that she's making? She's like,
she's still stuck on simple-minded.
Yeah.
Literally at the end of the film when it was kind of wrapping up, what is the point of all this? That's kind of where it went, which is very Like very, very, you can see it coming. It's normal.
What is the word? It was so obvious.
What is that word? It's, yeah, you would see it because you watch movies and this is like the message for probably most movies you watch. And again, along with that kind of existentialist streak is self-development. So I'm really into a lot of that stuff, just as not necessarily as the whole entirety of of a worldview, but it's got a lot of interesting ideas. And so I'd rather a movie move in that direction than some of the other directions. So I actually appreciated a lot about how Barbie, I think,
dang,
Bethany's face.
She's, you know, like, buddy, you were not supposed to share this month.
No, you know what this is giving? And I see this because I work in this sphere and we have existed in this sphere. This is giving mixed faith marriage.
Totally.
Not that that's where they're at right now, but this is kind of the conversations that it's giving is one person, especially when you talk about like the deconstruction path, really starts to go down a lot of times the intellectual, academic purpose, understanding, context. Like this is kind of the beginnings of what we see. And again, I'm not saying that this is where they're going, but from an ex-Mormon or a Mormon lens, this is typically what we see when people start to kind of go down the questioning path. And that's not to say that questioning always means leaving.
Yeah.
But this is, it's not, it's easy to see why going down this path of like really deep questioning, really deep thought, intellectualizing is very shaky to an already shaky religious foundation. Yeah. Or it can be, anyway. And so what I see from these two is Dave kind of stepping more down that path and Bethany being like, oh my God, are you serious? This is so stupid. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and then you also apply the kind of general... It's not... It doesn't exist in all the religious spaces, but in a lot of them, like... In Mormon, I don't know if it's really as widespread as I've seen it, but like all of the Twitter Mormons were like people like Dan McClellan come around, who is a biblical scholar, formerly working for the church, is a Mormon. And they're like, intellectualism is a total enemy to faithfulness. So when you see this being applied to other aspects, people in your life might be a little freaked out by it. Mm-hmm.
And the more I thought about it, the more I appreciated this and the more I read about it, too, where was it really trying? I think a lot of conservatives.
What is happening with Bethany's face right now? Did you see that?
Go back.
Go back.
Too, where was it really trying?
She sticks her tongue out.
Why?
I think a lot of conservatives thought, oh, it's just bashing men. And I think that.
That's literally what Bethany titled the video.
Whoa. Dang, she's throwing shade right there.
Doing was it was more saying like here's a stereotypical world, you know, Barbie land, and here are the some of the impacts on the real world and expectations for women and stuff like that. And
on her face.
And
oh, I absolutely will.
Here are some of the kind of tropes and stereotypes about patriarchy and you know. We're going to kind of explore that. What if patriarchy came to Barbie land, you know, at one point in the movie. And so I really like that idea. It was very experimental to me of just like, let's put these stereotypes along with these stereotypes and let's flip the power dynamic and then let's see what happens. And then let's flip it back. And then let's like try to come to something that maybe transcends both of those. And I think the filmmakers did.
How did these two people get married?
I do not.
There's no way he wasn't always like this.
No.
Right.
I don't think so. I think, I don't know. And again, this is, Dave and Bethy are three-dimensional people that live in reality. And what we get of them is very slim. Just like people come on here and make judgments about us all the time. It comes with the territory. We've learned to get over it. But the thing is from a Mormon perspective, looking at this, like, and what we've seen from Bethany over time is it feels like Dave was very much like, if we're talking about like a movie perspective, like a background character, like he was very not as involved, more on the quiet side. And maybe that was intentional on his part or Bethany's, I don't know. But now, especially since that Instagram live that sent like all of this shit in motion, he's been a much more like prevalent part of her content, especially like her individual content with her intercourse, as we like to call it, her course around teaching Christian women sex is also very much centered around Dave as well. And so he's becoming way more into her space from an outside perspective. Not that it wasn't ever not that way in their day-to-day life, but it seems like he's entering more. And if he is in that sense, he might not have always been as willing to speak out about these concepts. And if he's seeing an actual therapist, I mean, therapy 101 is your opinions, your voice, your perspective deserves to be heard. And so if you're going to be married to someone, then like fundamental marriage is being able to hear out and validate and listen to and empathize with your partner. And so if that wasn't happening, then what the hell's the point? You know? So interesting.
Try to do that, especially near the end. They tried to, and we can go into some of why.
Yeah, I'm resisting about that. Rolling my eyes.
You're resisting? Okay. But no, I think that.
Not
I think,
at you, at like that whole thing.
Yeah. Well,
way kinder and more generous.
It's typical of, I mean, these days, it's pretty typical to just have a straight up, here's the power dynamic. Here's who's been oppressed. And then let's basically like flip that. And the people who should be leading are the people who have been oppressed. And the movie, I don't think the movie.
I feel like that's just one type of story.
But I'm on the language piece of this, though.
Right. Yeah.
Like he used that term.
Oppressed.
And not in like, oh, everybody's oppressed.
Everybody's oppressed these days.
Like, that's interesting.
That's interesting. Yeah, Bethany could never.
Exactly went there. In the final analysis, in the final analysis, in terms of what happens in the real world, I don't think that the movie was necessarily trying to say, oh, it would be better if women were in charge of everything.
Well, in Barbie Land, they made that clear. But then
in Barbie Land, they did. But Barbie Land is a very confusing. Yeah.
Like they didn't really have a solid answer.
It was a little convoluted.
Like, now what happens to Barbie? Yeah. Like
Bethany struggles with abstract because religion is very concrete.
It needs to give you the, here's what you have to do.
Pieces.
And this is what will happen.
Yep. Every piece of the puzzle. That's why it's interesting to me that Dave is more leaning towards the intellectual and the abstract, because a lot of that, especially with existentialism, is not having solid answers and not knowing things for sure, whereas Bethany wants everything served to her with 2 + 2 = 4, period.
Yeah.
And that's not necessarily a bad thing.
I can totally empathize with that, because
that's Mormonism.
It's comforting to have answers. So
it's interesting
when you have an open-ended question that doesn't necessarily have an answer.
It can be challenging.
Which that's more exactly what I want to talk about. But
especially if the question is challenging your worldview, it could be.
I liked all that. Yeah, I liked all that. All that exploration is fun. The philosophical explorations are fun. Ken was he was so funny. And
we love it.
Weird Barbie as well. So those were my two favorite parts, I would say, in the musical numbers. I'm just kidding. It's so funny.
Did it again?
I wanted
the musical numbers. He's definitely a theater kid.
How did we get so blessed?
And the Ken story arc too, for his character arc is so, in my opinion, these are things we'll share. These are so, I thought that there were some things that were very well done about that.
I mean, Ken was the best part.
Those are just some of my positives. Yeah.
it's funny because it's all just about like women and female empowerment and how like we've been oppressed so much about the patriarchy. Oh my gosh. But
this is like so few redeeming qualities.
Funny
for her.
Because it's like, so now we have like women director producing Barbie, the main character, but then they kind of like, Ken kind of became the star of the show. And when I see people talking about it, people are like obsessed with that song. They thought he was hilarious. So it's like, man, if you wanted this to be like,
the man steals the show, go
he
figure.
My favorite part about the whole Barbie movie arc that we are seeing unfold before us is all these young people discovering that one song was originally by Matchbox 20 and was not an original song.
My thought from this whole discussion is the kind of irony of this, in that they're, and I don't know, Dave kind of surprised me here, their understanding of what feminism is and what equality is very much skewed. Because they think that if feminism is, you know, everything is women-led, men get pushed to the curb and do absolutely nothing, they're absolutely useless. So, like, in the Barbie movie, when Ken is a vital part of the story, and all the other people, men perspective in the movie, are also vital parts of the story, they're like, well, that's not feminism. I'm like, you guys don't understand the point. Like, feminism does not mean we cast men to another island and live on
maybe as, in some...
We might feel like that some sometimes. Some
people's, yeah,
but
perspective.
That's not the purpose of feminism. Like, it's not wiping men off the face of the earth or not interacting with them or not giving them any, you know, positions of power. Like, feminism does not mean that we knock men out of the world completely. Like, that's not what it means. And it astounds me that that's what they think this is.
Yeah. Because what would you be accomplishing by becoming the oppressor? Like,
I just don't understand. And it... And I think hopefully they'll come around back to this too, but a lot of the messaging from the movie also came around to the fact of how patriarchy hurts men too. And so, you know, we don't want to play the measuring game because women, I mean, oppressed by men is a large part of the story, but in the primary, but patriarchy harms men too.
Yeah.
And so this whole idea that it's like, you know,
you're not measuring it by screen time.
No. And if there's like, it just, they think in extremes. It is black and white. It is all women in charge of everything and men banished off to an island. No in between.
Man bashed.
No, you know, like, because women, when we start to take ourselves so seriously and we try to become like, I don't know, all we, you know, we, like, instead of just like go and do and be what you want, they have to say it all. Like, no, this is where we've been and this is where we're going. Like, it's like Barbie took herself so seriously, like, almost from the beginning, and then like she would have these moments of not being serious, but Ken like never really took himself seriously, so he was much more likable.
Well, yeah, I mean, Ken to me was interesting because he I would sort of describe him as having no guile. He has no, like, what he says is basically what's in his mind, and so it's a character that's a very, very easy to read in some ways. And you don't have that with every character in the movie. And so I think for me, his character arc is very clear and fun to follow because he goes from, should we get into okay. So
let's hear it.
He goes into the real world and he discovers patriarchy because they didn't have that in Barbie Land. In Barbie Land, it's basically a utopian matriarchy. And so
and for somebody who has, like, don't get me wrong, as a mom and as a person who absolutely worships many moms and all of the things that they are able to do, would it really be that bad? Like, and that's not my point that I'm making here, because that's not balanced, but the idea that is, like, laughable to me is Bethany and Kristen peddle constant, women are amazing, women are the best, moms are so strong, you guys are so badass, you guys do everything, like, you're so powerful. And then the idea of a matriarchy, the they're like,
bleh. Yeah, they're like, how absurd,
oh my god,
we could never,
I need my husband. Like, okay, like, chill.
Women are sort of the first class, you know, group, and then the Ken dolls are sort of secondary class.
Like, if they exist, the random exists.
We don't even know where they live. No. You know, where does Ken live? Like, I don't know.
Well, it is an on-screen analog to kind of how Barbie was over the last however many years, 50, 60 years.
And, you know, every night is girls' night. He's constantly excluded from the female spaces, if you want to put it that way. So it's very, it's kind of like
a Ken moment today. Jordan gets her hair done. I was like, ask them if they'll cut my hair. Nope. I was so sad.
I understand the point.
I was so sad that I wasn't allowed to go into a woman dominated space because they would feel safer if I didn't.
Taking what a lot of people talk about today, which is has plenty of merit to that conversation, but saying, okay, you know, women are excluded from this space, and basically saying, well, in Barbie Land, it's the opposite. It's, you know, this is a woman's world and men are sort of excluded. And so he is, he gets his sense of self from the gaze of Barbie. So Barbie looks at him, and that's how he basically gets a sense of self. Is mm-hmm. his identity is wrapped up in what she thinks of him, and her giving him attention. This is a very weak place to be, but at least it's easy to read. It's very simple. You know?
Do we not see the real world mirror here?
No, that felt personal to me.
Oh yeah.
Given the Instagram live and everything that we've seen up to this point, like getting strength and confidence and identity and solely from another the person. Partner. I mean, I feel like that's one of the things that he talked about, wasn't it? Yeah,
I think so.
Interesting.
If I remember correctly.
Okay. And the narrator even says that, like, Ken exists basically for Barbie to look at him. Says, hey, Barbie, you know, and she said, hey, Ken. He's like, yes. Mm-hmm. You know, if she says, hey, Ken, to another Ken, then he's like, nah.
Yeah.
You know. So he discovers patriarchy and then brings patriarchy back to Barbie land and flips everything and brainwashes all the Barbie dolls, basically, so that he and the other Ken dolls can basically run the show. And so he goes from this weak sort of subservient, like, I don't exist if she's not in my world, to this basically like, you're in my world to serve me. And which is the same weakness, except the opposite.
Yeah.
This is just the opposite end of the spectrum, but yeah. It's no more developed. It's a very underdeveloped mode. And so I like all that. That's actually a lot of us men have either one of those. Either we build our life around a woman or a, you know, an individual that we can look up to. Or we tend to, you know, want someone to service us and sort of build their life around us. Either way, it's a weak place to be. And so,
interesting.
So he at least recognizes this, which is important, because a lot of people, and it seems Bethany included, and probably Kristen, I don't know, I'm not hearing her speak on this one, but they just see like the idea of patriarchy and the word, they just shut off. They don't want to listen. They don't want to hear anything about it and how it can affect people on both sides of the spectrum.
Yeah.
And seeing it play out in a movie like this, they're just like, oh, what a bunch of bull crap. Like, I don't give a shit. Well,
Bethany went into it with that. Like, yeah. As soon as she heard the word patriarchy, like, oh, like that was
we have
it.
To go see this so we can make well, a 45-minute video.
Well, because I don't think she knew that. I don't think she knew that going in. But the second she heard it in the movie, it wouldn't have mattered.
Yeah.
Like, it's going to shut her down no matter whether it's presented before or after, because that's just such a... She has such a, like, fixed viewpoint on that from Girl Defined and, you know, her and Kristen and all that bullshit. Yeah.
Ken tries both. So he has one in the beginning, and then he goes and swings to the other end and the end. And through the course of the movie, you know, at the end, he has to learn that his identity and his sense of self can't be linked to Barbie, that Barbie being in love with him or Barbie, you know, looking at him can't be where he gets his sense of self. He has to find that elsewhere. And so, you know, he's just Ken. He's not just, it's not Ken or Barbie and Ken. It's what did she say?
I forget.
It's not Barbie and Ken. It's like just Ken. Just Ken and just Barbie or something like that. Okay. So Barbie also, in similar fashion, has the same crisis because she doesn't really have a sense of self either. For most of the movie, she is struggling with the fact that she thinks who she is basically this image, this expectation.
Stereotypical Barbie.
Stereotype that she's supposed to sort of perform. Mm-hmm. And this is supposed to give...
I just want to say, no notes. Movie critic Dave who?
Yeah, seriously.
Him in a sense of empowerment. And she learns that that is not really what's happened, largely. And there are other Barbies as well. You know, President Barbie. There are, you know, Dr. Barbie, all that stuff in Barbie land. And they are supposed to be looked on as these, you know, paragons of female empowerment and stuff. But I think the film really tries to go after the idea that you're more than your role, and you're more than these expectations that society's placing on you. So Barbie's basically under, she gets her reflected sense of self from what society says about her and what society expects from her. And Ken gets his sense of self from what Barbie thinks of him, right? And then, or if Barbie's building her world around him. And then the Barbies decide to flip back the power dynamic. Once Barbie Land becomes a patriarchy, they decide to use their talents as women with doofus men who are duped in, you know, in a million different ways to basically flip the power dynamic back to it being that Barbie Land again, where women are, you know, the ones with the key voices and stuff like that.
The fact that he has said so much on this movie already, you just know that Bethany was just going, she could say she went.
Yeah.
And she could talk shit on the movie. And
he needs somebody Dave to talk like, about
well,
with it.
I'm going to go and I'm going to watch this movie and yeah. I'm going to give it a fair shake.
Well, because he's not going to get an intellectual conversation with Bethany, because just like how she started this video, like,
yeah, she had already made up.
I had no positives and I hated the rest of it. Like, yeah. Okay, well, I there's just not like a whole lot of
everybody
conversation.
Was wearing pink yeah. And I like the costumes and, you know, how it was like based around an entire doll.
I think what okay. The movie sort of where it goes is that at the end of all of that, Barbie still doesn't know who she is. And I thought that was one of the best things that the movie said, was that you flipping around, taking power in a group or in a society isn't going to give you yourself. You are simply reacting to whoever, if you're reacting to whoever has the power, once
you're reacting,
actually do get the power, you're not going to know who you are any more than you did before. And that's what Ken finds. Ken didn't have the power. Then he got the power. He still didn't have a sense of self. He thought that what made him unique was that Barbie, you know, served him, or that he could, you know, play the guitar, or that, you know, it's the stuff that I can do, whatever. It's still not a solid sense of self. It's very reflected based on, you know, how cool I am and how Barbie just feeds his ego, you know. So at the very end of the movie, there's basically this message of, well, what does it mean to actually be human? Barbie has the chance to become human. And what does that actually mean? Does it mean fulfilling the designs of your creator, who she meets? She meets the creator who created Barbie. Does it mean, and what that woman says, this old lady near the end says, you know, I can't control you. Basically, I don't control your destiny. Even though I made you, I don't control your destiny. And so basically Barbie has to figure out who she is going to be and develop.
I'm shocked that Bethany hasn't exploded yet.
I am shocked she hasn't exploded yet either. I don't know that she thought about it in this way.
She didn't think it through.
I mean, for some people, it might be pretty obvious. But if you're like going into something as closed-minded as she is, there's probably a lot of things that he's raising right now that she did not even like consider. It's not that she's like stupid. It's just that her mind was not in that space.
Yeah, turned off to it.
Yeah, that it wouldn't stand out to her.
Because you can find those types of parallels all over.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
It's all about the paradigm. It always comes back to that episode of Bluey Flat Pack. You can look at it through a couple different lenses. Like you can look at it through a religious standpoint, and the parent character, the parents are the creators or whatever, and the kids are living out their destiny on Earth. And you can also look at it through a scientific. It's got both things overlaid on top of it. So it's not always.
Well, and
it's all dependent on your paradigm.
From what I understand about what Bethany peddles, and it's the same within Mormonism, the idea of like destiny is not.
Yeah.
Like it's not something that people either accept or believe that that's something that is, because like when you're a Christian, you have a purpose, you have a design, you have like,
yeah,
there is not a whole lot of agency in I get to do whatever the heck that I want for Bethany's type, not like every Christian, because there's plenty of Christians out there that don't operate like this, but the very expectation of like, this is how I have to do it. My purpose is this. God tells women that they need to do this. I mean, their whole fucking shtick is God's design for women.
Yeah.
Like, that's the whole thing. So the idea of a destiny truly is just not something that was afforded. And I can even see, like, on a very, like, deep, deep contextual level, why somebody like Bethany, who maybe, like, on the surface and maybe even deep down feels like she's happy with what she has, there, in my mind, there could be some deep, deep, deep down frustration or jealousy at the fact that other people can freely, like, do all these things without the expectation. Because is she being, like, held down with a gun to her head saying you have to be Christian? No, absolutely not. But most Mormons who want to leave or try to leave or think they can aren't either. It's the expectations. It's the weight of the things that have been laid out in front of you. It's the shame. It's the family. It's all of those things. And so to have this movie be like, you can be whatever you want to be. And that might be frustrating for her because she might be even deep, deep, deep down resentful that that wasn't something that was really afforded.
Yeah. She could have played basketball in college.
D1.
Yeah. So I can understand, because when you're in that situation and you give up those things, like, I could tell you all the fucking, there's all these like star BYU athletes and then they go on a mission. You never hear about them ever again. That's about it.
That solid sense of self. And in good existentialist fashion, basically she's going to look inside and decide who she wants to be. And she ends up traveling to the real world and to become a part of it, to basically be human. And Ken presumably learns to live his life as an individual without Barbie. Under the matriarchy. So I actually think that whole line that I've just outlined is actually great in a lot of ways. That is, a lot of us are suffering from our own weakness.
I'm dying to hear what negatives he might have.
Oh my God, she's so disappointed. Just look at her face.
She's
the self. Like, it's what this person thinks about me. It's my expectations. It's my performance that really gets me to have a sense of self. And so going deeper than that is important. Although the movie does, you know, I think mirror the worldview of the filmmakers, which is going to be sort of like, well, create your own meaning. You decide, you know, you decide what that's going to be. As a Christian, I wouldn't stop there, but I would say, well, that's better than what they had previously in the movie.
I mean, it's interesting because I was telling you, like, I watched the Selena Gomez documentary and it basically ends with her being like,
focus.
No, I am enough. And it's kind of what the Barbie movie ends with. It's just like the very popular thing to say or to believe is to just like, I mean, Ken literally wears like a sweater at the end that says he's enough, but then with the big K, so he's Ken-uff, you know, like Ken-uff. And Barbie is setting out to be kind of like ordinary Barbie, just like a normal person in the world, just like enough as who she is. She doesn't have to be stereotypical Barbie. She doesn't have to always look perfect. She can get cellulite. She can have flat feet. And she is enough.
Oh, I was like, have flat feet. I don't think you can choose to not have flat feet. I understand what she's saying now.
And so to me, it's really sad that that's where we end things. Like, we basically are telling people like that's the ultimate end goal. Like, you are enough. But like, I just like, what is that rooted in? Just like believing it, just hoping like I am enough, you know?
Oh, dear God.
I'm telling you.
This took a hard left turn.
I'm telling you.
As soon as she started speaking, I was like, oh, shit.
This is the idea for somebody like Bethany and her worldview for the overlying meaning of something to be that you are enough is threatening because it completely eradicates the purpose for her in her mind of having religion. Because for many religious people and many high demand religions, the idea of you are enough is not going to jive because it comes down to the whole idea of like, you know, faith without works is dead, right? Yeah. Like, you have to earn your salvation. You have to check off the boxes. Like, you're never going to be exactly who you're supposed to be because only Christ is perfect. And like, I can get behind all those things, but I don't think feeling confident and not like shit about yourself and religion have to like be in conflict. Like, I feel like, and it, you know, Christians, other religious people can sound off in the comments, but I feel like you can be a religious person and still feel like I'm enough. Like, I don't have to overcompensate. I don't have to fill certain yeah. expectations and roles. I don't have to put myself into these boxes that I don't want to be in. Like, I don't have to do those things. And are any of us perfect? No, absolutely not. But I don't feel like those two things can't coexist. Like, for Bethany, I feel like the idea of being enough just completely shatters the worldview of, like, being a Christian. Because, like, the whole, like, just like many of these people, like, the whole idea is, like, you're such a shitty fucking person. Like, you are such a god-awful person. And the only reason you are redeeming at yeah. all is because of Jesus.
Yeah. Which is, that's what I hate most about it, is that you're there. A lot of times, speaking out of both sides of their mouth, like, oh, you're a child of God, but oh, you are not worthy.
Yeah.
Like, what? That's a major problem that I have with a lot of these things, is like, how can you be a child of someone who doesn't think that you're enough unless you meet his demands or whatever? And maybe that's just not the parent who I am, because my child is always enough no matter what. And yeah, it's disappointing that in a lot of people's minds and a lot of people's theologies, those two ideas can't coexist. Like, why can't it be you're enough for Jesus to save, or something like that?
I even hate that, but I can understand that.
Like, you are enough to be saved. Like, every person is good enough to be saved. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm sorry if that conflicts with the scriptures or whatever, but
I don't know. As a Christian,
neither do I.
To me, that's like Ali Bastaki has a book, You're Not Enough, and that's okay, because Christ is enough, and we find our sense of identity and self in him. And so, to me, that's
just... Isn't that just what Dave was talking about? How it's kind of, like, unhealthy to, like, find your identity in, like, one person and one person alone?
Yeah. Especially when you've never seen that person.
Hmm.
Yeah. Hmm. You've only heard stories about him.
He's kind of a dick.
I don't know.
Crucial as a Christian, because I'll never be good enough. I'm going to have hard days. I'm going to have moments where I don't like the way that I look. I'm not going to always, you know, like, even if I can be confident, like, at the end of the day, I do have a longing to be named by someone, my creator, to have an identity outside of myself, to live for something greater than myself. And so,
but do you have an identity outside of that? Because I don't think you do. Like, this is your role as a mom. This is your fucking yeah. job. This is what you do on your Instagram day in and day out when you're not talking about sex. Like, this is
yeah.
this is your full-time gig. So, like, do you really have an identity outside of this? The whole
thing.
Because I don't think you do.
Yeah.
These movies that end, like Barbie, with, like, this whole big buildup and all of this, and then it's just kind of like, you are enough. It's like, but who does that really help? And, like, how is that the final message?
So many people. A lot of people, you too, apparently, until Ali Butt Stinky said it, have never been told that.
Right. Well, and I think Dave is truly sitting back here. Because from a therapist's perspective, even, like, the idea that, like, there's just this kind of unending, like, no matter what I do, I'm never going to be good enough in the eyes of the person who tells me that I need to be, can be really discouraging. Like, I absolutely endorse people who believe in all sorts of various things, religion or otherwise. We have lots of research around how religion can contribute in a lot of positive, meaningful ways. But if it's structured in this way where it's like, you have to be miserable all the time,
a threat,
and you have to suck, and yeah. your whole life is hanging in the balance if you make a certain decision, or you don't fill a certain box, or you don't check a certain thing. Like, the reason these movies resound with people so often is because people need to hear this message.
Yeah.
Like, people need to hear this and know this and understand. Like, I think the reason that Barbie resonates with a lot of people, particularly women, is they look at this and go, oh my God, yes, like, this is validating. This speaks to me. And men, like, I've seen plenty of men who have been like, yes, I love that this yeah. is addressing that patriarchy hurts men too. Like, it truly astounds me that she's like, who does this help? Yeah. It makes somebody feel good. Well, that's fucked up, because yeah. I'm miserable, so you have to be miserable too. Like, that's yeah. what it gives.
I could say the same thing about Christian music. Who does this help? It's not making rock and roll any better, and it's making Christianity worse, quite frankly. Who does this help? It's just the same with all kinds of art. Like, if it doesn't resonate with you, then that's it. There's not, like, that much more to the conversation at that point.
Well, and it's just indicative of the very limited worldview and the selfish worldview that Bethany has, because this is always what it comes down to. And Kristen's the same way. Like, it's always like, what's the point? Who does this help? Because she cannot think outside of herself. Like, she truly cannot think about anybody else if it does not serve her. Like, if it's not serving her in some way, like, I can think about other people and how they struggle with sex in a Christian way, because ultimately that means money for me.
Yeah.
It's not about helping other women. It's about making money.
Bag.
And so,
yeah.
And that's me being very pointed about it. But this is how it always is with her. Like, she can't possibly understand it, so it's bullshit.
Yeah.
It doesn't help her, so it's bullshit. Yeah.
The parallels there with this, too, is like, I understand that probably a big motivator for making this film was to make money. This is the system that we live under.
Sure.
Everybody's getting a payday, but you can include something in there, some sort of substance.
That's valuable.
Even though you are just trying to make money. It's, you know?
How have we come to this point in time where that is like the grand conclusion? So that kind of
Dave.
Bugs me.
He's like, mm-hmm.
Irks me. I think we probably view it differently. So this is the big debate amongst...
Oh my God. Yep. Whatever you say, honey.
They're fighting after this. 100% they fought after this.
Ooh. Oh, ouch. That was, she totally just steamrolled everything that she was just sitting there for she already knew what she had to say. And she was like, he's talking way too long. And
this is why he can't have conversations. Like, cause this I'm sure mimics their conversation. He got more conversation time in this, I bet, than most of the time.
Yeah.
Because she didn't listen or comment on anything that she said. He was like, yeah, we just view things differently. Like, okay.
Oh, Jesus. Okay.
Conservatives particularly is some say, no, they were not.
Yikes. Oh, man.
Bashing on men. They were not making men look bad. And then others
Look at his body language, too. Sorry for interrupting again. He was like, arm on her back to the point where he drank his coffee really goofy.
Uh-huh.
And now he's...
Bethany's forward. Mm. He's withdrawn.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Not engaging.
Yes, they were totally bashing on men. They, you know, men are just, were like genuinely made to be like total idiots. It wasn't just supposed to be funny. So what do you think about that?
First of all, neither stereotypical Barbie land nor the real world were that realistic. So the real world in the movie Barbie is like stereotypical real world from the perspective of, I don't know, second and third wave feminists or something. And some post feminists too. I think that
somebody has been doing reading and it ain't the Bible.
The fact that he even knows what second, third wave feminism is, like, I have a feeling I'm not going to like what he has to say. But the fact that he even knows, unless he heard that as, like, a, you know, stupid term. But I don't even think, like, I'm thinking conservative points.
Even
I can't think of anyone.
Even if you're just throwing that term around in a lot of those circles, it doesn't mean that you understand it. But
no, but
there's a difference.
Second and third, interesting.
Interesting.
The men they're bashing in the movie, the men they're bashing are doofuses. I don't necessarily see there being a message as, you know, all men are like this. To me, it's actually positive. It's like all the men in the movie are like this. There's not really any man in the movie that's really that great or has any substance. But then I'll go up the kind of meta level and be like, yeah, but Ryan Gosling is in the movie and he crushes his role. He does a really good professional job as an actor.
Yeah.
So there is a man in the movie and, you know.
He's such a f***ing theater kid,
he's
bro.
He's so, such a geek.
I love it.
There are other men as well who are really killing it at their career, doing a really good job and doing a great job for the movie. So does the movie really not have any men who, you know, is it bashing all the men or is it basically saying, you know, also look how good Ryan Gosling and maybe Will Ferrell or whatever, you know, look at how well they do. I just don't I just don't take the story that seriously.
Yeah. See, that's my problem though, because I feel like the movie, it was supposed to be like kind of over the top in every way. Like, this is ridiculous and this is ridiculous. But then I feel like the movie, especially Barbie's side of the movie, like Ken's side of the movie, to me stayed pretty like comedic and funny and not that serious. Like, he brought all the much needed humor, and Barbie's, her whole side and all the women were taken so seriously. I mean, literally in the movie, it's like the women, you know, all
you
the
literally were talking about how Kate McKinnon's character was so silly and goofy.
Right. Like, I'm confused.
I was here 10 minutes ago when you were doing that.
Barbie dolls have to be like woken up to this, to realize that they have been living under the patriarchy. But it's like, these are like feminist talking points, you know, like it's like back in the day, like women need to know that, you know, like they would literally, like, we have to tell them how unhappy they are in their homes. Yeah, yeah. We have to tell them how unhappy they are because as mothers, you know.
Girl, no, that is not how that worked. Do you think that people had to tell women that they weren't happy, that they couldn't get a fucking credit card, that they couldn't
own land?
I mean, somebody definitely came into their homes and were like, you're unhappy.
Yeah.
Because I couldn't possibly have the emotional, I couldn't possibly have the brain matter to say, wow, this is really screwed up. Or my husband is abusive, but I can't get a checking account or a credit card to leave him. Like, it drives me bonkers because they stick on the surface level of like, ew, women are unhappy. When it's like, this is contextually so much deeper than this. Like, this is so, so much deeper than this. And you're going to sit on the very surface level of like, wow, women are just so bitchy and unhappy and they possibly couldn't think for themselves. Like, are you that disillusioned with this?
Well, it's the whole kind of MO that we've been employing lately of, oh yeah, they just have to tell people that they're unhappy and suddenly they think that they're unhappy. That they've been that's like the playbook recently. They've just been like, oh, well, enslaved people in the South, they didn't really have it that bad. In fact, some people benefited from the things that they learned when they were enslaved. Like,
at Pearl. What? That is the largest bullshit and the most harmful, toxic thing I've ever heard in my life.
Total revisionism, just pull that out of your ass,
but
okay?
Even if we flipped the script, like, couldn't we say the same thing? Like, couldn't we say that most people just went about living their lives until religion came in and told you that you were unhappy
in
the life that you were
of
living?
The sky and the thunder.
Right. That, you know, that Jesus is going to send you to hell if you get a tattoo or, you know, if you're gay, or like, didn't someone come along and tell you that?
That's exactly what I did as a missionary. Oh, you think you're happy now? Well, actually, you're not, because you're not a Mormon. You think you love coffee? Boo! Think again. Coffee is horrible for you and God doesn't want you to drink it. Like, that's exactly what evangelism is.
And it comes from an immense place of privilege. Like, okay, so you don't see how any of this would have ever benefited you. Like, you weren't a woman in the 50s. You weren't a woman, you know, after World War II.
You have so many more rights than those people that came before you.
You're white, you're cis, you're relatively in a sound, safe, stable financial position from what it seems. You just bought a house. Like, you're in a pretty stinking privileged position to look down on feminism and its purposes, to be able to even put you in the position that you're in a lot of ways, because you suck the patriarchal dick. But there's a lot of things that you would not have still, even if you were a big supporter of the patriarchy. So it's really just misinformed and stupid, and I hate it.
The idea is that they're idiots and they're brainwashed. So there actually is kind of a streak within certain, I think, certain forms of feminism where you're under a false consciousness if you don't really hold, if you're not awakened to the reality that it's this systemic sexism in society, then you're basically living in false consciousness. You're brainwashed by the patriarchy.
Yeah.
And so that's exactly what happens in Barbie Land. They're brainwashed and, you know, and they have to wake up when they're sort of given phrases of cognitive dissonance. You have to be thin, but not talk about being thin, or you have to be thin, but not too thin. And you can't talk about, but you have to talk about health, you know, or they're like, you know, you need to not, you know, you need to mother him, but you not need to not remind him of his mother. You know, all the things like this, where it's things that actually, to some degree and in many relationships, are probably true.
Totally.
Plenty true. Those are the things that sort of wake the Barbies up to, oh, my goodness, I've been asleep. And yes, I can now see clearly. And I think that's one of the ironies of the movie. And one of the ironies of trying to be so self-aware is that you could do a number of those just based on the movie itself.
Yeah.
And just how the movie is using commercialism and yeah. possibly even sexism.
Damn. Commercialism? Just replace that with capitalism and you've got
We're getting there.
To basically try and sound like they're woke. So in other, there's so a character, Will Ferrell plays a character in the movie where he tries to have all these things like, we've had women CEOs like twice, you know, we uphold women, we empower women. This is, you know, and he's just so adamant that
it's giving, we had a black president. How could we possibly be racist
anymore? He's like woke and he's with it. And the film's making a great point, you know, that all these talking points don't actually make you aware of the society or put you in a place where you're actually
going to. Dave is surprisingly insightful on this.
And I love it so much because I know it sends Bethany up the fucking wall.
She's probably like, I wish you could glean this much from scriptures.
You need to throw up the picture that I showed you. This Instagram post recently was posted on their account, and I cannot only help but wonder if this was recently posted for a variety of reasons, not the least of which was this conversation.
Shout out Fundy Doll. Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Fundy Power, because he's the CEO and he's at the top. That's actually, under one perspective, that's a great analogy for the movie itself. Is that kind of character who's basically like saying all the things, but still functioning in a very capitalist, very, you know, even possibly sexist way. And you're, you know, at least according to the definition that's being put forward.
Yeah.
And so you could argue that there is a cognitive dissonance just with the movie itself and what it's trying to say. So the cognitive dissonance would be between what the movie is trying to say and the fact of the movie.
Yeah.
And the fact of the Barbie.
Bethany cannot even get on his level.
Shh, no.
And I'm not saying it's like a difference in like intelligence, but in the conversation piece of actually being willing to be more critical and analytical, and she can't or won't. I won't say can't, she won't do that.
She doesn't want to engage in it in good faith like Dave is. And obviously, I don't know what's going through Dave's head, what his preconceived notions of the film were or anything like that. But if they were in alignment with a lot of the conservative Christian talking heads, then he definitely had his mind changed at least a little bit. And that's pretty obvious with how he's in depth of an analysis he's doing here.
I think the two of them have a fundamentally different worldview on a lot of things. I'm starting to
piece together.
Yeah.
Yeah.
His analytical thinking here and even the verbiage that he's using is well beyond what you would see in a Girl Defined video. Plenty of way more higher level and intellectual of a conversation than I've ever heard Bethany and Kristen have.
Yeah.
This is out of her depth.
It's like they both don't like each other. And they're just
way too out of each other's depth. I tell clients all the time, a lot of times people struggle in relationships where they feel like in certain areas, a partner is very out of their depth. So if I'm a very emotionally intelligent person who has a background of maybe trauma, who's been through a lot of things, who's faced some religious stuff and has to do a lot of emotional work and labor, in therapy and self-improvement and learning, that creates a lot of depth. And then if I have another person who's very surface level, who's very surface level in that area, not just because of their experience, but the unwillingness to kind of venture out into that area and learn in that area, that's different than somebody who's just staying on that level and is refusing to see or engage or come down to yours.
Yeah.
And a lot of time that creates incompatibility. And it's up to the people involved if that's something that either or both of them can work through. But I think this is an example of where there is fundamental differences just in even communication here.
Yeah.
And if one couple, like if one person isn't really willing to engage with the other person, then it can lead to feeling invalidated, not feeling like their voice is heard, their opinion matters. Like, because there's a difference between just like listening to somebody and being like, yeah, okay, and engaging in an actual conversation.
Yeah.
So
I think the people who excel best in relationships and in life are those who want to stray from that shallow water and go to the deep end with whoever it is in all aspects of life. It doesn't just have to be the relationships, but also looking at opposing viewpoints and things like that. Anyway,
brand being one of the big reasons why the movie is having any attendance. Yeah. So I don't think people are necessarily just attending for the deconstruction. They might be there for it, but they're not necessarily all coming for it.
Well, and it's funny because they're like, I mean, they were, if you go and see it and if you have seen it, it was like, it was past the point of being like satirical and like, oh, ha ha. It was like, no, they're pretty serious. Like I thought, are we sure it's like this political or this woke? Like, are they just joking? And it was like super like, you know, it was just so that way. And so it's just almost insulting. It's like that. It's like, you feel like they're telling you like, you need to be this way or else you're like stuck under old ways of thinking. And it's like, oh my gosh.
I mean, but that's, I have no problem with that. That's their opinion. Whatever.
No, I know. But I mean, for a movie like this, it's like, why does everything have to be so 2020, like 2023, you know, like the 20. Why
because does that's the fucking year that we live in. Hello.
I was thinking, why does everything have to make sense just according to Bethany? Like, why does it just have to exist? Like, she cannot possibly see outside herself for long enough to think that other people can hold opposing viewpoints and benefit from something that makes zero sense to her. Like, it's evident just in this conversation with Dave. She's like, I know you think that way, but it's still stupid. Like, that's not how this works.
Oh, it's so political. Oh, my God.
She exhausts me.
Why does it always have to be 2023? Why can't we just throw it back to fucking 1423 and we can chop the hands off of people who steal and...
witches.
We can burn witches.
20s. Like in a few years, things are going to change and it's going to be like, oh my goodness, that's so 2023. You know, like, why does it have to be...
Yeah, that's how the calendar works. Thank you.
All of these, like, talking points from right now. Like, so obvious, so direct. I mean, I could just go on and on and on. There's just, like, all these speeches and, like, why are so many of the women so, like, bitter and angry, like some of the main...
I'm sorry.
Totally missing the point.
Hello? Because of all the things, like of all the things that I've seen, like from the Barbie movie and from even clients of mine who have talked about it and everything that I've seen, the only person who's sounding like a bitter old hag is you.
Owie.
It's literally just you. Like the only person who's bitter here is you. It's not bitter to look at things and go, this kind of sucks. I don't know that this is really beneficial. Maybe we should do something about this. Maybe this benefits everyone if we change this. Okay, cool. You have to kind of be uncomfortable with things in order to make change. I mean, that's the basis of religion, too. Like, Jesus says you suck at this, so you need to do better. If you weren't uncomfortable for a little bit, then you couldn't move forward. But it sounds to me like the only bitter person here is you. Truly. I'm not bitter about this movie. Am I bitter about feminism and how slow of progress we make? Absolutely. Yep. But I'm not a bitter person about it overall. Like, I don't know anybody who's been so triggered by this movie other than you and Ben Shapiro.
And all the other reactionary cronies. Yeah. Seriously.
Like, it's just, like, ridiculous. Like, over the top. I was, like, literally falling asleep halfway through because it was just became so boring. Like, there were no surprises. Like, you could basically, from the very beginning... as soon as you kind of get a little bit into the storyline, it's like you could have literally said the exact phrases that happened until the very end, minus a few comedic moments, you know? And so that's like, really? Like, why? And then the whole idea of like, you know, there really wasn't any romantic relationship between Ken and Barbie. And it's like these days, women, they feel like, especially with this kind of like whole feminist mindset, like we have to be the hero. We don't need men. We don't want men. And so we just have to be like the hero of our own destiny and the hero of our own story. And he needs to go be his own person. But we definitely didn't have any romance or any relationship. But the reality is so
Wait, he might intervene here.
Let's hear it. Let's hear it.
Many women, like, they enjoy romance. They enjoy, you know, and it's like these characters, them, like the people in real life, like they, not everyone just wants to be like individual and like conquering the whole world. Like, we love having like, you know, a person or even to be pursued.
But so you can like, be in a relationship, but you don't, it doesn't take away your individuality necessarily.
No, and that's what I don't understand here. Like, girl, I am the biggest sucker for romance. I consume romance novels like it's my fucking job. So I am 100% in the camp of give me a romance. But I think the point that she's missing here is that from the dawn of fucking time and media, that's always how it is. Like, even in Disney princess movies, there's always romance. There's always a man. Like, that's always the expectation.
But no kissing.
But no kissing. And only recently has there started to be kind of a shift into, like, Moana is the one that I think about first, where there's, like...
Frozen, I guess, predates
it. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Where there's no, like, necessary romance comes on and she is able to save herself. And the whole, like, if Bethany understands that, that's fine. But Bethany's also not 8 years old. So maybe you should consider for half a second that the messaging that women should be confident to be able to do whatever they want, even if that means engaging in a romantic relationship, but it shouldn't be the only narrative. Because my age group, her age group, that was the only narrative that was pushed. Yeah. So for her to be out here complaining that that's not happening anymore, I'm like, bitch, that happens like 99% of the fucking time.
Yeah.
So it hasn't happened as often. Like, it happens 7 out of 10 times now. And that's still so upsetting for you? Like, I don't get it.
Do you want this shit to be subtle? Because even when it's subtle, it's like...
Well, then she's talking about how it's too predictable.
Yeah. Like, the movie that comes to mind when I'm looking at these things and how sometimes just a little subtlety will shoot things way over people's head. Have you watched A Bug's Life recently?
Yeah.
I watched A Bug's Life, like, last year for the first time, probably since I was younger than age of being able to read. It is all about class consciousness and revolution of the proletariat. Go watch it. I swear to God. In a kid's movie, like, sometimes it's obvious and sometimes it's not, but it's always saying something.
Ridiculous.
If as you, it should.
Yeah, but they don't want to be with, they don't want to be with a man. They don't want to be with any of the men in the movie. It's like, you shouldn't.
Well, because they're they made them all idiots. Terrible.
Yeah, exactly. But they did that. So That's more like, well, actually, good men that honor and love women well are made to look even better.
That's true.
That's how I view the movie. It's like,
this is what I mean. She will never rise above the stupid narrative that she sets out in her head. Whereas Dave's over here making a point that she probably agrees with
and totally missed.
But she's like, no.
Yeah.
It's more like, yeah, if you're surrounded by guys like that, I'm very sorry. That is really rough. And the movie doesn't explicitly say all men are like this.
That's important.
I think, didn't they say all men hate women at one point? Or they hate each other?
Oh, she was, don't ask her. She was not paying attention for that.
I more walk away going like, yeah, don't be with any of those guys.
Why does she keep sticking her tongue out?
Why do you think they didn't have a single, like, there was not one person who was not one man who was not portrayed as a total...
Alan was a kind of out of the box kind of guy. Nobody, he doesn't get any girls or guys.
He's kind of like, okay. A lot of people are saying that he was pretty queer coded. So
wasn't there didn't Ben Shapiro lose his mind because there was a trans Barbie in the movie too, I think.
Yeah, of course.
Surprised they didn't bring that up.
I'm shocked.
Really sure what exactly he is. But okay, but any of like the, I mean, he's still an idiot too, though. Like, whatever he is, he's like, do this, you know, he's like so dumb. But like all of the guys in the real world and in Barbie land, every single last one is portrayed as like literally a complete idiot. Like beyond
much.
Idiot.
Yeah, pretty much.
Like, he's such an idiot. It's almost like, you know.
I mean.
But this is not exclusive to what some could dub as feminist media. The Simpsons is the longest running animation where the dad is a complete dumbass. And it's common through all these other shows. But as soon as there's like a feminist agenda, now it's a bad thing.
There are some, I mean, I wouldn't regard The Simpsons as a feminist show, but there are some feminist points even in The Simpsons. So it's like, you know, if Bethany Knotts wants Lisa. To not encounter, like, Lisa, hello. Yeah. If
Bethany, even Marge, really.
Yeah, there are
even some Even though Marge she's the moments. Housewife.
Like, she's going to have to lock herself under a rock and never come out.
Yeah.
And honestly, I would prefer it if I never had to see her face again. So.
Here's the thing, though. You know, we've heard these statistics and stuff. Women are outstripping men in so many different sectors in our society, you know, education and you know, careers and stuff. It's like men are very much falling behind. It seems like there's a crisis of identity amongst many men. So there are movements that are sort of capturing a lot of these men that are really stereotypical, that are like the manosphere that I've heard of. I don't know much about it, but it's this sort of
idea. Oh, thank please God. Don't.
God, I don't have
I've got some hope for Dave.
That if the feminists say this, you sort of say the opposite. Like the feminists say, you
That's
know,
what Bethany does.
You know, they have all the power. Yeah. And so you're like, yo, it's good to have power. You know, you basically just affirm that sort of thing. And there are a lot of groups like that. And there are a lot of guys that treat the women that they're with like that. I mean, very much like you're here to serve me. Either, and in both ways, the weak, sort of nice guy approach where I'm building my life around you and your happiness is the most important thing in my life. And our relationship is the most important thing. That's a very weak position to be in. And at just as much as the
juicier jerk
version where it's like, you need to serve me and stuff. But the thing is, it seems to me like that very much exists. Men like that were like that sometimes.
I mean, I guess what I'm saying is like, we had an interview with Nancy Piercy, and you can listen to it. It's a few episodes back, all on the toxic war on masculinity. And I think that that's true. I think that we've swung so far to this side of like, not just that women want to have equality with men, but they want men. Like, men have to be like scum and men have to go down. And like Nancy Piercy was saying, like, you know, it's all these jokes, like testosterone is a cancer and we have to basically like weed out men from our, like, men are the problem.
No,
and
it's
I think of raising a son and it's like, I do not want to raise him basically viewing his manhood and his masculinity as a problem.
Oh, I think you'll be okay. We will. I think it'll be fine.
Okay.
As long as Dave's leading the charge,
then he'll be fine. But it's the extreme. Like, that's not feminism. Anybody who says that that's feminism is misguided, because if we're looking at feminism in a very broad perspective, that's literally not what it means.
Yeah.
It's not man bashing. It's not saying that men have to be kicked down a level. Like, it's literally none of that. It's not bringing men down. It's raising women up. It's leveling the playing field.
Any feminist who is f***ing about their shit would never say that testosterone is a cancer.
Absolutely
that has
not.
To be a caricature, because there are women out there who have very high levels of testosterone, like, unless you're going to be some sort of like TERF or whatever like that.
Yeah.
And then I can see it. But a real deal feminist is...
That's not what it is.
Yeah.
And it's not to say that women can't feel that way, because they absolutely can. And sometimes maybe they even should. But that's not what feminism means by a whole. And it's just a stupid kind of barrier in the way of this becoming a thing, because it's just like anything else. Like, if it was this simple, we would all get it and go, huh, this is mutually beneficial and move forward. But that doesn't benefit people. That doesn't benefit men as much as it benefits women. And so men can stand in the way and continue to perpetuate these systems because it benefits them on some level.
Yeah.
And so, but if we get everybody around to the idea that like, oh, patriarchy hurts men too, then it's like, oh, huh, interesting.
Hmm. Yeah.
But that can't happen as long as this rhetoric exists.
You got to make the compromise sometimes. Or not really even compromising. It's just showing you that it's a deeper seated issue and it's further reaching than just the one subset of people.
We got to start wrapping it up here.
Hold on, let me go back.
Yeah, as a problem.
Oh, I think you'll be okay. We will. I think it'll be fine.
Okay, so we got to start wrapping it up here.
Okay.
Okay.
No, that was like, You did not listen to look at this man.
You did
this
not
is the
understand
man
the assignment.
Dejected.
We're done here.
Like, I made it. You made zero efforts to listen and understand. We had no. It's like the two of them had a conversation. It's not even a conversation. It's me talking and you talking.
Yeah.
And
he almost had like no cons that he shared.
My overall opinion of the movie and score, if we did a 1 to 10, Paul and Morgan did a 1 to 10. I liked that.
I hate the 1 to 10.
Oh, I'll do a 1 to 10. My
Oh my God.
Oh my God.
Well, okay. Like I was going into it. I didn't read reviews. Like I didn't watch any reviews or listen to
that's what I'm saying.
Reviews before going to see it because I wanted to be as open-minded as possible. And I just went in like,
I highly doubt that. I'm sorry.
I hope this will be interesting, engaging. I hope at least like, you know, I'm there for like 2 hours and we paid this money and we have a babysitter. Like hopefully I'll just be like entertained and engaged. And I felt like very much kind of like it was a snooze fest. Like there was... Like, Ken was really funny, and the Kens were really funny, and Weird Barbie was really funny. But outside of that, it was just honestly, like, boring to me. And I just felt like it was so obvious. And like I was saying, you could pretty much tell the storyline from the beginning. So that was kind of like a disappointment. Like, why, even if you remove all of their messaging out of it, like all the wokeness, all the political stuff, all the messaging, like even just the story as a whole to me was so lacking. Like, I just felt like there was so much more they could do with it.
I would love to hear...
Bethany, the
explain,
director.
Yeah, what is an interesting story that doesn't have wokeness or whatever? And don't say God is not dead.
On that level, it was really not entertaining. Like, it's not a movie I'm ever going to pull out and be like, Girls' Night, which would have been so fun.
But
like,
every night is Girls' Night.
It would have been so awesome, you know, like, or such a fun date night, or like, yeah, we're going to all get dressed up and go see it again. But it's like, to me, it's like one time, like, I was talking to Kristen about it, and she's like, oh, should I go see it? And I'm like, no, like, it is literally such a bore, such as news. So that is just like, to me. And then all the messaging where it's like, it wasn't even just like joking after a while. It's like so serious. Like, why is it? And Barbie cried so much. Why was she always crying? You know, like, so
she had an existential crisis.
I know.
Oh my God. She's literally just like taking a picture of anti-feminism and just chugging it. Why is she so emotional? Oh my God. She's such a woman.
Barbie, it's like, can we just have fun? Like, why can't we have fun things anymore? Like, why can't we just be entertained? Why can't we just have fun? Why does everything
happen? Oh my God, it never was that way.
This is coming from you.
It never was. I'm talking about A Bug's Life that came out in 1997 or 99 or something like that. Like,
why can't we just have fun? This is coming from Bethany, who lives by Jesus Christ's most insane rules of all time. Like, it is not fun with you. There is no fun with you. God's design for women. Don't touch the devil's doorbell. Whatever the it is, there's never been any fun with you. Never.
Until now that she's rebranded.
Intercourse.
Like 2023, like, you know. Oh, my goodness.
She lived in the world of shiny, happy people, and her world had to be cracked.
And then
that's exactly what he was trying to say in the beginning. That's why I gave him the benefit of the doubt. I saw his parallel.
Okay. And they're like this, like, women, we're so oppressed, and Barbie's done so much damage to our culture. The women are like, yeah, so let's cash in on this and make millions off of it. And all these women are literally making, like, millions of dollars. But, like, we're so oppressed. Can you believe it? Like, look how famous we are. And then the other thing that really annoys me is that they're like this, like, why can't the big ending of, like, all the speeches, like, why can't we just be like ordinary Barbie? Why do we have to be Dr. Barbie or, you know, President Barbie or stereotypical Barbie, like without the cellulite and perfect and climbing the career? Or like, why can't we just be a mom? Or why can't we not be a mom? Like, why all of this stuff? Like, why can't we just be ordinary Barbie? And then they have the idea, like, we should create ordinary Barbie. And apparently it's going to like sell like crazy. Like, people are actually really into this. And then what's ridiculous though, is that who wants, like, really in of all these people actually acting, like, who of them wants to actually be ordinary Barbie? Like, they have a lot more that they want for their life, whether it's to make a lot of money, to be super successful.
Bethany, what kind of Barbie are you? Because I don't think there's anything extraordinary about you.
Transphobe Barbie.
Homophobic, transphobic, bigoted Barbie. Bigoted Barbie.
Yeah.
Bigoted Barbie.
Boring Barbie.
Boring Barbie. She's just going off on a tangent.
Could have played D1 in college basketball, Barbie.
But my husband and I have a great sex life, Barbie.
I insist.
My husband said that some really horrible things about me on an Instagram live, Barbie. I'm triggered by feminism, Barbie.
Oh, man. It's incredible.
Used her to be a massive actor, the women. And I was looking up the plastic surgeries that they've had done and all the work that they've had done. And it's like, yeah, so you're telling me all of you want to be ordinary Barbie. Is that why you got your buckle fat removed and your nose job and your eye lift and your chin lift? Like, you just want to be ordinary Barbie. And
okay, that's but you don't have to be not a girl's not, girl about it.
Yeah, well, and it's not that, like, I understand what she's saying. I do.
Yeah.
But it's not like them personally. It's not like Kim Kardashian coming out here and being like, be an ordinary Barbie, because that's bullshit and I get it. Like, it's totally fair.
Guess what? Correct me if I'm wrong, but they are playing a part, a role, if a role. You will.
Yep.
So.
Yep.
There's that.
And I mean, it just kind of shows some insecurity, which is women. I mean, the messaging, the society, exactly what Bethany's talking about. Like, all of that points to women feeling absolutely terrible about themselves, because why wouldn't they with everything that we've been taught and given? But it just points to insecurity.
Yeah.
Like, for her is what comes out to me. And rightfully so, because every woman, it's impossible to avoid. But like, to just be this triggered by it.
Oh, I'm insecure. You're insecure. Look at all this.
Does anybody want an ordinary Barbie? Like, that's so sad. Like, to think that you have to, like, have something to bring to the table in order to be worthy.
Yeah.
Like, to me, that's the whole point, is that you don't have to meet a certain criteria or an expectation or a job position or a relationship or a sexual orientation or any of that to, like, be this, be worthy of time and love and attention and all of those things. Like, you can just be exactly who you are, and who you are is enough. But that's threatening to Bethy, apparently, because she feels like she has to bring something to the table.
Oh, it has to be such a pure statement made by pure people. And
see, because it's such a lie to these young girls and young women who are going like, yes, I want to be ordinary Barbie just like that person. Well, if you fork over thousands and thousands of dollars, you can also get all the surgeries to enhance yourself as well, you know? And it's ridiculous. Like, y'all aren't, all of you women saying, like, why can't we just be ordinary Barbie? None of you want that for your life.
That's not true, one. And two,
it doesn't matter if it's
the
not
Barbie
true.
Movie is not the only form of media that has been saying this. Yeah. Like, there are so many things out there who say this exact same fucking thing. And I'm on the same page. When I hear Kylie and all of them, when she's like, I've never gotten any work done, I'm like, you lying son of a bitch, because I know you have.
You've been on TV for decades.
That's the point. But it's like, so I agree with that sentiment that it's bullshit when they come out here, when the influencers and they've got filters.
It's hollow.
And like, totally. I see that 100%. Completely agree. But this movie isn't the only thing that perpetuates this message. Therapists, counselors, PhDs, academics, intellectuals, women, men, even men who have called out this crap before. Like, this is not the only movie that's raising this. And just because these are the women that are talking about it does not discredit the message as a whole. But this suits your narrative, so you'll let it.
Again, it's the actors that are saying the words written by so many other people. There's all these other people behind the screen that want
writers.
Who wrote this story, who put this story together, who did all this stuff, that are saying this message, not just the people who are in front of the camera.
And let's say that I'm not going to be one to tell somebody that they shouldn't get any kind of plastic surgery or anything just because it's like
trendy.
It comes off as like trendy or superficial. Like, if it's something that's going to give you confidence, get lip filler. If Botox is going to help you feel more confident, get Botox. Like, I'm not discrediting women by and large that just because that they get plastic surgery or have any kind of those things that their opinion is irrelevant. Like, I'm just not going to say that. But I understand from like a celebrity influencer perspective, where they are like 100% plastic, to come out here and then lie about it is a different story.
Especially if it's going to end up making their money, they're peddling a product.
Exactly.
Something of that nature.
But this is not girl's girl behavior.
Nope.
It is not.
Not a fan. We do not stand.
Mm-mm.
But it's ridiculous. Like, to me, all of that is so confusing and such a contradiction. But at the end of the day,
funny that you would be talking about contradictions.
Ironic.
Enough. Ordinary Barbie is enough. And you're still, what are young women left with? Like, nothing. No, that's at the end of the day, even being ordinary, like, that's not enough, because that's, we do have a creator and we were made for more. But it's just, to me, it's just all a big poo poo. So I give it a really generous, on an entertainment scale, I give it a generous 3. On a would I ever recommend it scale, I give it a super generous
1.
0-. Okay, I'm done. What's your rating?
I don't.
He didn't want to rate
it. I think so, babe. That's amazing. I think we just end with that.
No, you got nothing else?
No, because I gave a rating. I just did a lot of words, you know.
Okay, y'all.
Go see it if you want to.
Go see it. Let us know what you think. And we'll see y'all again next week.
Bye-bye.
Wow, that was...
I have... Shut up, Hassan. I have emotional whiplash.
Jesus.
Well, into just... For her to be like, what's your rating?
He's like...
And he's like, I've just talked for like 45 minutes.
She was like, let's do a 1 through 10. And he's like, no, I don't want to do that. And then she does hers. And then she's like, what's your rating? She does not listen to him.
Girly pop. She doesn't care. That's going to get real old really fast.
Yes.
To not even be able to engage in a conversation about it. And like try to see each other's sides and try to understand and
yeah,
like it just and it.
She
I mean,
just knew she had her opinion already, and she was. And I'm not like he. Obviously, he was strong in his opinions, but it was more because he knew that she didn't want to have any sort of nuanced take on it.
No,
which sucks when you're trying to have a conversation with somebody.
Well, and the only thing like you can tell, like he's just dropped this like whole intellectual. Narrative, like very wise, lots of important things to like take into consideration and think about in context and all these things. And then she starts talking, and the only thing he can do is laugh because it's got to be like absolutely astounding to him, the things that come out of her mouth. And the only thing that he can do is laugh without being like,
yeah,
okay, well,
all right, whatever you say, honey.
Okay, yeah, let's go back to working on your intercourse, shall we?
Yeah, the intercourse. So
well, that was a ride, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Don't talk to Bethany about the Barbie movie.
Seriously. What other movies are blacklisted? You can't talk to
everything Bethany that doesn't come from VidAngel.
Yeah. God, it is. We haven't done too much talking about Dave lately, but I was taken aback, to say the least, about his analysis of it.
Dave is not free, just like any of us, of making offensive things or having largely maybe not productive things about, you know, the community and things. But also, I'm not as confident in saying that I know what Dave really believes. Like, I think we're potentially doing a disservice by assuming that he holds the same beliefs that Bethany does, because I'm starting to think that he might not. Especially if he's dabbling in existentialism and things of that nature, that makes me think that he may not be completely in line with the things that Bethany has to say. And it's not to say that he might not have like offensive or maybe non-inclusive views like about gay people or trans people or, you know, things of that nature. But I don't know, like as where he is right now, that we know for sure.
Yeah.
And he seems to be like... Robert Frost's Two Roads Diverged in a Wood. Like it's starting to, something's starting to become more pronounced to me.
Yeah. And it is important to say, like, people can learn it. I don't really know how Dave used to be. I mean,
it's Bethany Eller lets him talk.
Yeah. But people can learn, just like we did. We've been on a very long journey
still
into inclusion. Yeah, we have been. We've had
bad takes, and we've had things within our religion that we were taught that are largely offensive or
and had to unlearn
and had to deconstruct. And not to say that Dave's going to deconstruct and stop being religious or a Christian or anything, but any form of like learning in this way where it's like, you know, truly seeking and trying to understand and not like, you know, delving into like the manosphere and incel territory.
Yeah.
Like this is productive because nobody, like we need to not get caught as people from the outside of the black and white. Like they're either all good or they're all bad.
Yeah.
There's a whole lot of gray area, and anybody who's willing to learn and kind of step outside the extreme bounds of religion should be encouraged to do so.
Yeah. I totally agree. So
do your thing, Dave.
Yeah, we shit on Bethany and Kristen a lot because, I mean, they put their whole
opinion out there.
It's all out there. I can make a pretty decent criticism and analysis of it just by what they say. And he's definitely shown a little... Aside that, I don't think a person married to Bethany, I didn't think a person like that could...
Be married to have, Bethany.
Yeah, that kind of opinion, so...
Yeah.
Anyway, sorry, Dave, that Bethany did not care about your opinions. Because that was pretty...
That was rough.
Pretty obvious. I'm surprised she wasn't as restless while he was laying it out there, because usually, like,
with Kristen.
Usually when Kristen does that, it is she's
well, very
fidgety.
Well, she kept doing the tongue thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
There's that.
We'll have to take that for later.
Yeah. Anyway, we'll wrap this up. Holy shit, this was a lot longer than it was going to be. Anyway, this was a bit longer than I didn't think we'd end up watching the whole thing, but I'm glad that we did. Final thoughts? Anything else?
I think
we've laid it out there pretty good.
Yeah.
Good I'd and say. Well. We appreciate everybody who did make it to the end. Here's our shout out for those of you who are still here. If this is something that you would like to hear or see more often, you can hit the subscribe button. If you're on a listening platform, you can save our podcast and you can get more of this unhinged, just analysis and rambling and what have you, all the stuff that we do here. If you'd like to support us even more, all of you are supporting us right now by just being here. But if you'd like to support us more, we have Patreon for everybody who's listening and watching. Or if you're on YouTube, you can hit the subscribe button, right? So you can hit the become a member button that's right next to it. And it's the same thing. You get the same privileges.
Get exclusive content. We recently just did a members only stream.
Yeah.
We're going to start a members only movie watch relatively soon here.
I just got the disc drive so I can do the magic on the computer and everything like that. So
don't miss out on that.
Don't miss out. Also, if you would like to follow along with us, you can find us on Instagram and TikTok and Threads by extension of the Instagram at Jordan and McKay. And if you're sneaky, you can probably find me on Threads as well. But anyway, finally, last thing, the Discord. You can join our Discord, awesome community of awesome people. Link is down in the description down below.
Moderated by lovely people also.
Moderated by lovely. Shout out to our mods
who do that.
We love them. They also do the modding for live chats on YouTube. They're
shout
amazing.
Out.
I don't think we thank them enough because they just do it in their free time.
Song of Solace.
Yeah.
Sage. Shout out.
Love them. Anyway, we love you. You're awesome. You're enough.
You Topical. Are enough.
And we will see you next time.
And Baloney says, bye. Will you purr into the microphone?
You're asking a lot of him right now.